All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is May 18th, 2022. This is episode 121. You know, we still are getting a lot of weird things coming out about the shooter from Buffalo, New York. Obviously, I've been talking to a lot of you about it. There's just stuff I don't like coming out. Some of the people who helped me gather a lot of information have sent me some very bizarre things about this guy, to the point that, you know, he's a white supremacist, but yet he has hashtag BLM wrote on the buttstock of his rifle. He's a white supremacist, but yet he also has his closest friend as a Hispanic guy and then also a black girl. So what am I supposed to do with that? You know, what are we common people supposed to think when we see, well, the government and the mainstream media is telling me that he's a white supremacist and a right winger, but in his manifesto, he's a leftist. So be careful of what you dive into with all the information that's out there. You know, there's plenty of it's going to be disinformation. Plenty of it is going to be stuff that was, I would say, probably made by an agency or by a department to lead you astray. So just be careful. Reference everything. Investigate everything to the best of your own ability. You know, I was talking with some of the guys and gals that I'm always in communication with, and one of the things I found to be interesting is one of the brothers sent me, it's a his idea is that there was the use of a algorithm, some sort of a AI based algorithm that was used to develop this character, this Peyton Gendron character online. And if you go into like the deep dark hole of this conversation, more or less what it comes down to is everything that you click on, everything that you purchase, every site that you visit, the algorithms that are out there, the artificial algorithms that are out there that can be used against you, can create your own online avatar, saying this is this person, and this is what this person always likes and looks at. Well, suspiciously, whatever it is that's going on with this kid, this Peyton Gendron kid, it seems that some of his manifesto, or maybe word for word parts of his manifesto, is coming from government documents. It's also coming from the shooter that was in New Zealand. Now, like many of you out there, I don't really know what all to make of it. I'm just getting the information and trying to process it. I'm not trying to jump to any conclusions. There's plenty of people out there who want to make some outlandish conclusions about this. I still try to use investigatory processes and common sense when I'm doing stuff. I don't like to just say, oh, it's an outlandish statement, and then, you know, make it so outlandish that everybody hops on board that train. Because once you go down the path of disinformation, it's hard to veer that train to another track. Does that make sense? There, you're going to have disinformation from the government side. You're going to have dispensation from somebody who says, oh, I know everything, it was QAnon. Oh, I know everything, it was this or it was that. It'll be this entity that no one can, you know, touch, see, or feel. No one can interact with. So, you know, just be careful when you're going into this type of information. You know, I do find it strange also, if you didn't know this, that he entered, he went to court and he pled not guilty. He pled not guilty to the murder of 10 people. So once again, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, what are we supposed to do with this type of information? I just hope that this isn't all swept under the rug like the Las Vegas shooter and like all the other shooters that have been going on recently. You know, if this kid really meets a threshold for our government to take and then to actually investigate, you know, who he's close to, who he talks to, where he frequents, where he buys things from. They already went and visited the guy that he purchased all the weapons from. You know, so there's just a lot of missing things here. Like I said, I don't like this case. Something is false about this. Something is obviously not right, but something is premeditated here. It's animated to an extent. Something about this manifesto just smacks Hollywood script to me. What do you think? Anyways, a lot of stuff's been going on around the world. I would still tell you that we live in a very dangerous country. There's been active shooters all across this country lately. Be prepared, you know. I strongly recommend people to have a pistol with them. Go and get your concealed carry license and make sure you get some sort of insurance to cover yourself if you're going to carry a weapon. And I strongly mean that. I'm not sponsored by anybody to say that. I mean, you have the USCPA or whatever, the concealed carry attorneys. The reason why that's a good thing is if you ever heard about the White Settlement shooter that's at the Church of Christ in White Settlement, Texas. It's 20 miles from me. And it was a black guy who went in there with a shotgun. He'd already cased the place out a couple times. Then he finally goes in there on a Sunday. He was able to kill one of the guards, one of the security guards that's there, or security members of the church, excuse me. And then the other security member of the church was able to put one of the dome and turn the lights out. Well, being the hero that man is, he was still arrested. He was still prosecuted, found not guilty, had to go to a grand jury trial. And after that, he was sued then by three people in the church that he saved, and then also by the killer's family. He's still going on with those lawsuits. And I actually talked to a lawyer that was working on his case probably about 2-3 weeks ago. And he told me that that poor man may end up getting close to another 3 or 4 more years worth of court over this case from like 2 years ago. So almost 5 years in court. You know, just to go to the grand jury trial cost him over $50,000. But he's now being sued civilly. So, by the way, the city of White Settlement is actually suing him and the parishioners and the killer's families. Isn't that nice? See what happens when you try to do a good thing. So, here's the reason why I'm telling you this. That handgun insurance that he has is covering for every penny. Every penny. No out-of-pocket expenses. I think, if I remember correctly, that by the end of this entire court case, it may be several million dollars spent. I mean, who's got that? You know? Anybody out there? Who's got that type of money just to spend on a court case? I mean, what was the guy supposed to do? Not shoot? Not defend himself, not, you know, protect the people that is around him. So that's the lunacy that we're having to deal with. Active shooters are always going to be a common thing in America as long as there's guns. There's no way around it, but you can prepare for it. Get yourself a pistol. Get your concealed carry license. Get a good holster. Get a good belt to carry it on. And start training. Also, one of the brothers sent me this, so I'm going to mention it because I'm a big proponent of it. Airsoft training. If you have problems with finding ranges to go to and instructors, or if you can't afford it, you can't afford spending so much money on ammo just to train properly. I get it. I'm in that same boat now. I don't get free ammo anymore. I wish I still had my Glock 22. I'll probably have to get another one because I got like 10,000 rounds of 40. But hear me out on this. Get yourself a good replica airsoft gun. I always shoot Glock, so I'm just going to go with the Glock. There's a, I think it's called Glock X. But there is a replica gun out there that actually has a blowback, has magazines, and all that cool trash. So you get as close to the feel of shooting a actual pistol as possible. And that means a lot. You know, that means a whole lot when you talk about all your drilling. We want a similar gun in your hand. We don't want a light gun. So, you know, and it's the same gun that can be, you know, put lights on it. You can put it in your holster. I would strongly suggest people get rifles and pistols of airsoft. You can train in your house with it and shoot at each other. Just wear a mask. They hurt. Those little pellets do hurt. But they don't hurt that bad. Don't be a pansy about it. Don't go get a catcher's mitt, you know, vest on. But you know, you can just wear facial protection. If it hits you in the mouth or in the teeth, you know, it'll bust your lips. It may knock your eye out. But where else are you going to get that training? If you've never cleared your own house before, I strongly recommend you get an airsoft gun. You have a friend of yours or your spouse or your kids. Set up a target in any random room. It could be a target in every room, doesn't matter. Set up a target somewhere randomly in the room that you do not know. Go from the outside of your house to the inside of your house and completely clear out your house room by room and practice. That's a cheap way to do it. You should be the master of your castle. Also, I would strongly recommend that you do the same thing in reverse, but start from your bedroom. Have someone put a target somewhere and clear your house out. This is practice, because you never know when someone breaks into your house, man. And, you know, there are plenty of people who they put their guns in these gigantic gun safes in the other room, all their gears away from them. So, you know, if you hear that, crash through the door, or someone just kicked your door down, what are you going to do? Run to the other room, spin the dial, hope you get everything right, and then take your guns out? Prepare accordingly. Prepare accordingly. There are plenty of cool little devices out there where you can put your pistols, little safes and all that. I would strongly recommend you do it. I keep one right by my bed. I may be pretty fast out of the holster, but I can't get to a gun and shoot and defend myself and my family if my gun's in another room. So, you know, like I said, prepare accordingly. Do walkthroughs of your house. That's the best place you should be getting your tactical training, right there at your house. All right, what do we got today? Well, I got a really cool story for you from InfoWars. Love me some InfoWars, mainly because they lied to me the least. I'm not saying they lied to me, I'm just saying I don't trust almost anything I read anymore. So, this is coming from InfoWars. DHS shuts down Biden's Ministry of Truth after fierce backlash. Has anybody else heard about this? I love it. Nina Jankowicz, a.k.a. the Mary Poppins of disinformation, has now submitted her letter of resignation. Well, good. I think that's good. I think you have any type of person who will go out to some sort of a bar and then sing about how she wants to be rich, famous, and powerful, and who she needs to screw to get there. I think that's probably not someone we need to put in charge of a government agency. Look, I know I left the government, you know, a little less than a year ago, but have you people lost your minds? I mean, seriously, DHS, whenever I was there at least, was very respectable, depending on what agency you were in and what we were doing, because primarily we were a law enforcement and military veteran centered organization. And then you go and you create something that I don't even know if it was legal for DHS to create this, because they have to go to the Congress to get the funding for this. But let's get in this article. The Biden administration is putting its Orwellian Disinformation Governance Board on pause just 3 weeks after rolling it out. By the way, this is wrote by, stand by, Jamie White. I got to give credibility where it's due. Multiple employees with the Department of Homeland Security said that its Disinformation Governance Board has been shut down on Monday, according to the Washington Post. Its chair, Nina Janky Jankiewicz, a.k.a. the Mary Poppins of Disinformation, submitted her letter of resignation a day later. Quote, but Tuesday night, Jankiewicz was pulled into an urgent call with DHS officials who gave her the choice to stay on even as the department's work was put on hold. Why was it put on hold? It was put on hold because of the backlash it faced. According to multiple people with the knowledge of the call, all right, that's being reported from the Post. I think that's hilarious, you know. This woman is all kinds of crazy. This is the nine cats crazy lady, right? This is the type of person, woman or not, that you don't put in power. You don't put egomaniacs in power. Especially one who already has a political agenda. I mean, hey, let's break this down for a second. I'll get back to the article. Doug, don't swear. I cannot believe the stupidity of people in our government right now. You know, we're supposed to be fair. We're supposed to be equitable. We're supposed to be well-balanced. Supposed to be always looking towards justice and integrity and all that other cool mantra stuff. But, you know, you put a extreme leftist who believes all that extreme lefty stuff, and you put her in a throne of power within DHS where she's going to be able to tell people what's true and what's not. She's going to be able to tell organizations what is truth and what is false. And then what? Is she going to be the one who decides what laws are applicable to things that she deems to be not true? Joseph Goebbels would be so proud. And of course, she's Ukrainian, so we got to put her in. You know, this is just, God, I'm so glad I'm out of the government. I really am. I hate to see it falling apart because all my friends that I still have that are there. But, guys, I would tell you right now, if you're listening to me, you need to start saving some money. You need to start scouting. You need to go somewhere else. You're not going to be able to say, well, at least I'm the good guy in a wholly corrupt government. Now, I can give you a little story. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, used to be in the agency with me. And a fellow friend of ours has since left the agency. I want to tell you about his experience. So he left our agency and then he went to work for ICE. And while he's working at ICE, and I'm not going to say where he's at because that'll give it away. But while he's working at ICE, he's not allowed to do his duty, right? He's not allowed to do the performance of his duties as he was hired. And if I'm correct, he was a deportation officer. So when you're not allowed to, you know, find illegals and check them out, make sure that, you know, they're not supposed to be here, or you're supposed to check and make sure that, you know, all their papers are being processed. Well, if they're not, then they're legitimately illegal. Well, they're supposed to get deported. Well, because the administration doesn't want that, and he couldn't do his job and deport illegals, he got kind of pissed about it. I would too. And so the higher-ups sent him down to the border just to rub a little bit of salt in his eye. And what happened on the border is something that probably a lot of you would like to understand and like to know about. He went down there for a CIS-style mission. And more or less, this is what it comes down to. People are crossing the border illegally. Border Patrol, or like my old agency, we would catch them, process them, bring them to a detention facility, then CIS would start, you know, working their paperwork with them. Well, he was more or less told to just pencil whip everything. By pencil whipping everything, I mean not to do the proper background investigation, not to reach out to see if there's anybody here in the United States to vet him or her, not to do the due diligence to make sure this isn't a mass murderer or a member of the Taliban. So, he quit. He quit because, just like how many of us quit, this administration is taking your security and pissing on it. Do you know what can come across that border? Hey, you know, just raise a hand, but who's been to the border? If you've never been to the United States and Mexico border, go there. Just go there and sit and watch. Bring you a lunch, probably take you about 2 hours, and you're going to see at least 30 to 40 people running right by you, coming right across the river. That could be anybody, folks. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, whatever, Taliban, Russians, because they're trying to take over the world. Hey, there's a whole heck of a load of Chinese that come across that border, too. But there's more than just that. The Mexican military come across that border. The Mexican military has done it plenty of times. They've came across that border in their vehicles, dropping people off that they don't want. I can't tell you how many stories I've got of that. Buddies of mine that are in Border Patrol or CBP, and they're just standing there, and next thing you know, here's a whole convoy of Humvees, and you know, some Mexican military guy yanks some poor bastard out that's, you know, already had the crap beat out of him, says, "Here, he's yours." Gets back into their vehicles, and they drive off back to Mexico. That's called an international incident, but we don't do anything about it, ever. See, we don't do anything about it. But do you know what the ramifications would be if our military crossed into their border, crossed into their country? Oh, my God. Everybody would be not just wrote up, but probably like prosecuted by the Attorney General. You know, because they'll say that you try to start a war or something. That's one of the things law enforcement faces all the time on the border. Because we get shot at from across the river, what are we supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to defend yourself. But if you shoot back, it's an international incident. If they shoot at us, yeah, it's a cartel. Slap on the hand. Not even for them, for us. All right, let's get back in this bill. I found myself on top of a soapbox. The DHS lashed out against free speech advocates following the board's shutdown, vowing to continue its disinformation work one way or another. Nina Jankowicz has been subjected to unjustified and vile personal attacks and physical threats. Bullshit. And this says a DHS spokesperson who was telling the Washington Post this. In congressional hearings and in media interviews, the secretary has repeatedly defended her as a eminently qualified and underscored the importance of the department's disinformation work, and he will continue to do so. So what does that mean? That means that the Disinformation Governance Board probably ain't going anywhere. Now, it is facing intense criticism as soon as it was announced last April, promoting DHS Chief Alejandro Mayorkas to come out in defense of the board, claiming it would not police free speech, but what the hell else is it supposed to be? Here, let's hear what this idiot has to say. He says, "It's clear. I mean, those criticisms are precisely the opposite of what this small working group within the Department of Homeland Security will do." That's Mayorkas, right? And he says, "And I think we probably could have done a better job of communicating what it does and does not do. The fact is that disinformation that creates a threat to the security of the homeland is our responsibility to address, and this department has been addressing it for years." Really? Oh, words I can't say on the radio. Really? What about the elections? What about Pedophile Island? We heard more about Johnny Depp and whoever that idiot that he married, and their lawsuit, more than we ever heard about Ghislaine Maxwell and her trial. What about all the bodies that are buried and covered up? What about that one, Mayorkas? Don't think you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a whole spider web out there of people that are involved in the Pedo Island, that are involved in Antifa, traces back to the DNC. They know what I'm talking about. They won't do anything about it, though. They won't do anything about it because they're controlled by them. And also because there's Republicans involved as well. This is the problem, America. The left wing, the right wing, attached to the same bird. We have a rotting and corrupt government. The Disinformation Governance Board. God, how close to the KGB can we get? How close to the Stasi can we get? You know, God forbid the day someone like me ever decides to run for Congress. Someone who can't be bought off, someone who can't be put down, I can't be silenced. And then we get to start asking the questions. So here's the problem. In Congress and the Senate, the people who get to ask all the questions is not you and I. It's not we the people. It's them the politicians at that point. Rattle off 5 good politicians in your head right now. I could think of like 2. One of them being the guy that's in Oklahoma that's funding the Bigfoot hunt. Look, we are bought and sold by our politicians. That's the reason why they cover up all this stuff for themselves, for their buddies. They're hanging out at the Bohemian Grove. They're hanging out at Bilderberg. They got all the child sex trafficking and the prostitutes and the drugs. The Eyes Wide Shut movie is not just a movie. DC is a cesspool of demonic power, and it is irradiated with evil. It truly is. And there's like a few good people there. And I mean by like that are like holding some office of power. But how long can you be a good guy in a corrupt system? How many good guys were there within the Nazi army? When the German Wehrmacht was finally, you know, starting to surrender, and they were finally starting to not follow the orders from Hitler, do you know what still happened to a lot of the Nazis? They were still brutally killed. Why? Because they're Nazis. You know, no one was spared by Nuremberg, by that trial. Nobody. So have a care for all you would-be heroes that are still in the government that, you know, you sit back and you say, well, I'll just ignore all this. And, you know, I'll keep my head down until I get my paycheck. Hey, they'll come for you too. The disinformation board, they're going to be going through people's social media accounts, probably emails, text messages, whatever NSA can give them. Oh, look, this one voted for Trump. Put them on the list. Did you hear Biden talk about the ultra MAGA and how they're all the people that are ultra MAGA are like the real risk and threat to the country? Have you ever heard of a president of the United States that willfully labels one half of the country as a terroristic threat or a terror threat or some sort of a security risk? Like, Obama didn't even do that. They're setting us up. They're definitely setting us up for something. Yeah. Hey, let's finish this article. I got other stuff to move on to. The DHS announcement of the board came just days after billionaire Elon Musk declared he would buy Twitter to restore free speech. Jankowicz's ridiculous antics and accusations that anybody who doesn't subscribe to the official government narrative are conspiracy theorists also compounded the backlash. Yeah, no shit. The Biden administration's blatant effort to censor free speech was so egregious that 20 attorney generals demanded the DHS disband the disinformation board. Well, how about this? If we continue to go this route, why don't we disband DHS? Oh, and FBI, because they work hand in hand. But you start going down that path, and you're just going to have to completely take apart the government. And I know there's plenty of people who would champion that. Yeah, that's what we should do. What are you going to replace it with, though? You still got all these people in positions and law enforcement. You still got all these intelligence positions that are out there and assets that are live and being used. What are we going to do with that? See, these people in charge, they will never allow the pedestal that they've been put onto to be taken out from underneath them. The government has gotten too big. It's a country within a country at this point. The integrity, or excuse me here, let's go with this one. The coup de grace came Monday when Revolver News released a damning report revealing that Jankowicz and the board itself are a product, oh you'll like this, of a now defunct clandestine psychological operation that was a project funded by NATO called the Integrity Initiative. The Integrity Initiative defended democracy, quote, by recruiting secretive clusters of academics, national security bureaucrats, journalists, think tankers, and lobbyists in multiple European countries. These clusters would then begin to engage in various ways to address nation-specific threats of so-called Russian disinformation. Infamous doxer Taylor Lorenz blamed the Ministry of Truth's demise on social media in the Washington Post article. Quote, how the Biden administration let right-wing attacks derail its disinformation efforts. Jankowicz's experience is a prime example of how the right-wing internet apparatus operates, where far-right influencers attempt to identify a target, present a narrative, and then repeat mischaracterizations across social media and websites with the aim of discrediting and attacking anyone who seeks to challenge them, says Taylor Lorenz on Wednesday. You know what's really funny about that? It's legal. It's legal. It's called your First Amendment, ma'am. Does it not worry you when you have members of the government who doesn't like the way that you view the use of your First Amendment? I do. I don't like it at all. That's worrisome. Because what then, you know, what comes after this? Let's say if they actually went through with this DHS disinformation board, the Ministry of Truth. If they can do that, what can't they do? You know, how far could they really take this? How dystopian could America get? I could go there quite fast, to be honest with you. I don't know. These people are a bunch of evil people. You know, I know sometimes I feel like I'm talking into an echo chamber, because many of you say the exact same thing that I do, but my God, I don't know. I'll just repeat what I said earlier. I am so glad not to be a part of this anymore. I really am. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. So, a lot of active shooters happening around the country. Have you heard about this one? This is covered by Andy Ngo. Dallas police arrested a black male suspect who was accused of being the gunman in a shocking suspected hate crime shooting on a Asian hair salon that injured three Korean women on May 11th, 2022. The FBI has opened a hate crime investigation into the spontaneous attack. Jeremy T. Smith's girlfriend, he's the shooter, Jeremy T. Smith's girlfriend, told police that he has trauma from bad experiences with Asians. What a bunch of load of crap. Look, I'm going to say something. It's probably not going to be viewed too well by a lot of people. But it's got to be said, there's a growing threat that's out there against Asian people in this country. I have no idea why. But from the West Coast to the East Coast, it's from, for whatever reason, the majority of it is coming from black people attacking Asians. I was talking to my friend AJ about this, who's a black man. And I was asking him, I said, why is that happening? Is there some sort of a tribal beef here in between these two groups? I don't get it. Like, what's the deal? And we can't honestly identify it. You know, I think a lot of it, and I say I'm saying it now because someone eventually is going to say it. And just from my law enforcement perspective, it is what it is. There's nothing racial. It's not discriminatory. It is what it is. And from New York, God, New York's had over a dozen cases of it. Not one of the people that has been arrested from it yet ended up being any other color except for black. I don't know why. So I don't understand where this is coming from or who is guiding it. But I know that that is not the view of probably 99% of black people in this country. I know quite a few of them. You know, just like how I would want to say that most black people know that 99% of white people are not racist. You know, your average sane person who thinks and cares about other people, who has sympathy and humility, does not believe that, does not think that way. Watch, let's see if this gets me in trouble or not. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to say what I see. If you don't like it, turn me off. You know, Joel Osteen's always preaching a feel-good gospel. Go listen to him. And I say that, you know, just because, you know, it's like every 12 hours, there's a new type of attack on a group of people. And then, within a matter of weeks, the attacks that happened previously don't get talked about. The reason why I'm talking about this little case here is because I haven't heard of it yet. It hasn't been blasted all over the news. Biden's not saying anything about it. Kamala didn't go and claim anything. You know, we didn't hear anything from anyone in the Korean leadership of this area, you know, to stand up and say, hey, you know, this is a danger to our people. Oh, we heard it an entire year for George Floyd, a 30-something time felon. But when innocent people are being targeted, innocent people are being murdered, innocent people are living in fear from a group of other people for whatever deranged reason, like Antifa on the West Coast. Look, all I'm saying is the country is dangerous. Don't think it's not. Do not think this country is not dangerous. This country is on a boiling over point. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because of Scripture. Ethnos against ethnos. Kingdom versus kingdom. We're seeing it manifest. And if you believe in your Bible, if you read your Bible, get into Matthew 24, if you're in the Scriptures, you'll know that as long as you're a child of God, it doesn't matter what shade you are. Like we used to say in the Marine Corps, everybody's green. You're just a different shade of green. But we're all the same. We're all human. We're all infallible. We all make mistakes. You know, I think racism is one of the tools that's being used to tear this country apart. I think racism, the fake outburst of racism, and then you have whatever the hell happened in Buffalo where this guy is a leftist, but he's a racist, but he's a right winger, who knows. It's all part of the narrative, guys. It's all building up to the crescendo point of something else that's going to be happening. Tomorrow should be a pretty cool show. We're going to be going over the Knights Templar. So that's getting back on the path of the America's Most Unexplained series. Miss Ariel, who's one of my independent writers that's within our Raven Corps, which, by the way, if you didn't know that, I'm taking on independent writers as they come. I do vet people very hard. And if you're good enough at it, we'll put your articles up there for free. You know, I want to be able to have a platform where if someone has a talent and they need to put it out there so that other people can also see it, hey man, that's what this is all about. This is the teamwork to make the dream work. So we're going to be talking about the Knights Templar. And boy, is there some creepy stuff in there. Before we go, I want to talk about something. PSYOPs. Now, recently, the United States Army PSYOPs Division put out I don't know if you would call it a moto video. That's what we called it in the military. But put out a promotional video for the PSYOPs, and boy, does it get psychological real fast. Here's an article from Vigilant Citizen. I strongly implore you, go to vigilantcitizen.com and read this for yourself and watch the video. You're going to see things that makes your mind go, uh-huh, that's what they're going after. It's hard to explain over radio. I'm not cool enough yet to be able to play a video and have my face in front of it and talk about it. Maybe I'll get that done tonight. But this is extremely, extremely important for us to realize this. So, the goal of PSYOP is essentially to mess with people's minds. Appropriately enough, a recent recruitment video by the 4th PSYOP group accomplished just that. Posted on this official social media accounts associated with the U.S. military, the video titled Ghost in the Machine gained some viral traction as viewers were impressed with the video's production quality while being baffled by its overarching message and symbolism. Ghost in the Machine. Go to YouTube, type in Ghost in the Machine and watch this. I mean, it's better than some of the Hollywood stuff you've seen recently. All right. So, what does it all mean? To better understand this video, let's look at the fascinating yet secretive world of PSYOPs. PSYOP stands for Psychological Operations. It can be defined as planned psychological activities using methods of communications and other means directed to approved audiences in order to influence perceptions, attitudes, and behavior, affecting the achievement of political and military objectives. Political objectives. How many times you people heard me say we are going through a series of PSYOPs? I have reason for saying it. Anyways, when books describe PSYOPs, they often refer to World War I era strategies such as dropping leaflets from a plane to demoralize the enemy. That era is gone. It's long gone. PSYOPs moved way beyond these primitive methods to adopt highly sophisticated techniques utilizing the latest technologies and the immense power of mass media. But that's not all. There's always a magical, supernatural element to PSYOPs. If you go to this website, you'll be able to read along with me and see it. You'll see four patches that belong to these units. All right. Special Projects Flight Test Squadron has a wizard on it. The National Reconnaissance Operations Center has a wizard on it. The 411th Flight Test Squadron, assessing the future, has a wizard on it. Then you also have the Joint Space Operations Center. The United Space Vault has a wizard on it. A lot of wizardry there. Well, where'd that come from? Oh, you're going to love this. These allusions to magic are not merely figurative. PSYOPs extensively researched occult and supernatural phenomena, such as extrasensory perception, ESP, and remote viewing. This symbiotic relationship between PSYOPs and the occult is fully personified by an important yet controversial figure, Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino joined the U.S. Army in 1968, where he became an officer specializing in psychological warfare and later a lieutenant colonel in military intelligence. As Aquino climbed the ranks of the U.S. military, he also climbed the ranks of another organization, the Church of Satan. Michael Aquino began corresponding with Anton LaVey while a psychological operative for the U.S. Army, stationed in the jungles of Vietnam. Aquino returned to the States and was soon made a high-ranking priest and editor of the church's Cloven Hoof newsletter. This man was an officer deployed as an operative in Vietnam, talking with the head of the Church of Satan, and then came back and got put as one of the highest ranking priests and the editor of the church's Cloven Hoof newsletter. So when you see all this dastardly stuff happening and people say, man, there's some real Satanists out there in the military, and then your average person looks at you and goes, you don't know what you're talking about. You sound like Alex Jones. No. No. They're right. His Michael Aquino's distinctive appearance, he sported a prominent widow's peak, like the old Dracula movies, and darkly accented eyebrows, and was further enhanced by a small 666 tattooed on his scalp. As years passed, the relationship between Michael Aquino and LaVey deteriorated. The main reason, LaVey believed that Satan was just a symbolic force, while Aquino believed in the literal existence of Satan. In 1975, Aquino founded the Temple of Set, S-E-T, Set, an occult order that revolved around the Egyptian deity on whom the Hebraic Satan was supposedly based. Aquino's occult activities did not interfere with his military career. In fact, he described politics and propaganda as forms of lesser black magic. Aquino divided black magic into two forms, lesser black magic and greater black magic. He stated that lesser black magic entails impelling things that exist in the objective universe into doing a desired act by using obscure physical or behavioral laws, and into this category he placed stage magic, psychodramas, politics, and propaganda. In 1980, as a PSYOP research and analysis team leader, Michael Aquino co-authored Mind War, an internal U.S. Army paper about the future of psychological operations. While this document was only intended for the eyes of government policymakers, it accidentally became public, and it caused quite a stir. There's no accidents, folks. Is the government involved in an invasion of the mind beyond the blundering, haphazard legacy of the infamous MKUltra experiments? Even more unsettling, do such efforts extend beyond conventional scientific research to dark and arcane arts, whose very existence is the stuff of legend? Mind War, book description. The least one can say is that Mind War was visionary. It accurately predicted the fourth generation of warfare, which focuses on bypassing armies in order to attack the population, culture, and institutions. And the best way to accomplish this was, of course, through mass media, which is what has happened in this country very effectively. If you lived in the 80s and you looked at our generation now, would you say that our country is under attack? Probably so. In its strategic context, Mind War must reach out to friends, enemies, and neutrals alike across the globe, neither through primitive battlefield leaflets and loudspeakers of PSYOPs, nor through the weak and precise and narrow effort of psychotronics, but through the media possessed by the United States, which have the capabilities to reach virtually all people on the face of the earth. Boy, we're getting to some real Mark of the Beast stuff when we talk about that. These media are, of course, the electronic media, television, and radio. State-of-the-art developments in satellite communication, video recording techniques, and laser and optical transmission of broadcasts make possible a penetration of the minds of the world such as would have been inconceivable just a few years ago. That was Michael Aquino and Paul E. Valley writing in Mind War. That's one of the passages. The ultimate goal of mind war is to make people willingly do what they're supposed to do, while not realizing they've been pushed towards that decision at every step of the way. Recall this as you start to think about the shooter from Buffalo. For the mind to believe in its own decisions, it must feel that it made those decisions without coercion. Coercive measures used by the operative, consequently, must not be detectable by ordinary means. There is no need to resort to mind-weakening drugs such as those explored by the CIA. In fact, the exposure of a single such method would do unacceptable damage to Mind War's reputation for truth. Towards the end of this short document, Aquino goes way beyond mass media. He states that psyops must make full use of phenomenons such as electromagnetic fields and extremely low frequency waves to make people more suggestible to mind war. Which, by the way, next week we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. And one of the things that Bigfoot supposedly has the ability to do is to use these extremely low frequency waves to scare people or communicate with people. So there's a little phenomena for you. All right, going out of the book, there are some purely natural conditions under which minds may become more or less receptive to ideas. And mind wars should take full advantage of such phenomena as atmospheric activity, air ionization, and extremely low frequency waves. ELF waves up to 100 hertz are naturally occurring, but they can be produced artificially, such as the Navy's Project Sanguine for submarine communication. ELF waves are not normally noticed by the unaided senses, yet their resonant effect upon the human body has been connected to both physiological disorders and emotional distortion. Infrasound vibration up to 20 hertz can subliminally influence brain activity to align itself to delta, theta, alpha, or beta wave patterns, inclining an audience toward everything from alterness to passivity. Infrasound could be used tactically, as ELF waves endure for great distances, and it could be used in conjunction with media broadcasts as well. You've read correctly. Michael Aquino stated that extremely low frequency waves can be used in conjunction with media broadcasts. All right, folks, that's all I got for today. Sorry we couldn't finish the entire article. Look, I strongly suggest you go to thevigilantcitizen.com, look up the occult history of the U.S. military psyops and its highly symbolic recruitment video. You can find that on YouTube. That's Ghost in the Machine. Just, you know, be careful of what you look at. You never know what's hidden in stuff like this. So if you get a weird feeling when you're watching it, just turn it off. But I'm telling you right now, the things that are supposed to be in the future, things that they said that were coming, they're no longer coming. They're here. And they're going to be used against us. Learn the enemy's tactics now. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here. all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.